This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, January 25th, 2023. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for the Wednesday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart. Inflation impacting the housing market, but buyers are still pushing forward. We'll cover that in our next segment, but right now, today's edition of earnings season includes closely watched reports from Microsoft and Boeing. We welcome Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investments Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond, Indiana. And Chuck, let's start with the big one here that was after the bell yesterday with Microsoft. Gloomy. I'll use the word gloomy to describe its earnings.
Yes. I mean, their fourth quarter weren't awful. I think what has hurt the stock has been more of their near-term guidance for early 2023. And that is kind of indicating somewhat of a slowdown in their Azure, their cloud business and some of the areas that had been really growth drivers. And they continue to feel the pain of the weakness in the PC market. You know, I think it is worth pointing out, however, that, you know, Microsoft had been rallying pretty strongly into the earnings season. And in fact, the stock has made a little bit of a comeback here as the day has progresses. So we'll have to see how it finishes up. But yeah, it wasn't a great report, and I'm not sure people were expecting a great report, and that's reflected in the stock right now.
Well, and I think, you know, we can also sort of shift gears and sort of something that perhaps I was expecting to see when it comes to labor and supply strains, and that's Boeing struggling as well.
Yeah, they didn't have a great quarter, I think, relative to expectations. It looks like their guidance is reasonably in line with what people were expecting in terms of 2023. And in fact, the stock has fought its way back and is almost flat for the day. So, you know, theirs wasn't probably perceived as poorly because they kind of kept their guidance intact. But yeah, it wasn't a great fourth quarter for them. And they're still kind of working out from the problems that they've had over the last couple of years. You know, the good thing about Boeing is, you know, it runs basically kind of a monopoly. So, you know, their backlogs are growing pretty substantially. And I think that's something that will provide some support to the stock price.
Another earnings report perhaps worth mentioning is one of the leading indicators, and that's railroads when it comes to transport. So tell us what we're seeing there.
Yeah, the transport sector is down pretty significantly today. And I think that's due to some of the earnings that are coming out from the rails. You had Union Pacific, which actually was a kind of a disappointing report with some disappointing guidance there, where I don't think they kind of indicated that they're probably going to be growing less than the transportation sector in general. And I didn't think the market appreciated that, and it's reflected in the stock action today. The transports, again, though, keep in mind, had been rallying strongly since the beginning of this year. And so when you get those types of strong price gains into earnings season, it kind of raises the bar higher for those companies to beat those expectations. And when they just come in with kind of blah earnings, you get a little bit of sell-offs like we're seeing in the rails today. So, that's something to watch. You're going to have other railroad companies reporting here over the next couple of days, along with other transportation stocks. And, you know, as I've said many times here on your show, Rachel, the transportation stocks tend to be the canary in the coal mine. You need them to do well for the broad market to continue to do well. And so, you know, pay attention to what those companies announce here over the next few weeks.
Thanks so much. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services based in Hammond, Indiana. Coming up, an update on the home buying market.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Millennials. Those are persons roughly ages 25 to 45 and are in their prime home buying years. However, the factor of inflation is raining on their parade. We're joined by Rick Sharga, Executive Vice President of Market Intelligence at Adam in Irvine, California. And Rick, I fall into this category. I'm a millennial. And believe it or not, I'm a home buyer, but I think I snuck in at just the right moment pre-pandemic because it is a vastly different market right now.
It's a really rough market for millennials, and the most surprising thing that you just said is that millennials can be 45 years old. I thought they were all kids. But it's a tough market for first-time homebuyers in general. The combination of home prices rising dramatically post-pandemic, interest rates doubling last year on mortgages, and inflation taking 8 to 10% out of somebody's net take-home pay, just makes it really, really tough for those first-time buyers to get into the market.
And again, even if, because there's also this trend, too, of millennials or sort of, you know, adult dependents that are still living with their parents, saving up money. But even that, I mean, even if you've saved up for years, it still doesn't feel like it's worth investing in something when inflation's where it's at, interest rates are where they're at, and even home prices have yet to come down.
Well, actually, of all the major markets in the country right now, Chicago is probably one of the few where home prices haven't skyrocketed quite so much. So if you're looking for a metropolitan area where the values are still reasonably good, Chicagoland is not a bad place to be located. The other thing people need to take into account is that in the short term, this is a very difficult time for those home buyers. But in the long run, for the overwhelming majority of people, owning a home is a much better financial decision in the long run than being a longtime renter. So people doing what they need to do now to increase their savings for down payments, to reduce other debts, to search maybe a little bit outside of where they were originally looking for a home or for a smaller home or an older home, something they can afford, very often is still a much better decision for them if they look at the long-term financial future.
What advice do you have for the millennial home buyer? Because I also think that the second something comes on the market, I mean, it is being looked at, it's getting offers, and they're going very quickly.
It's a matter of diligence, and it's a numbers game. You're going to have to continue to look, broaden, again, the geography where you're looking. Broaden the types of homes that you're looking at. Understand that your first home is very, very seldom the home you stay in forever. So look at it as a way to get started into home ownership. But also have your finances in place. Get pre-approved for a loan with a lender if you can, not just pre-qualified, but pre-approved so that when that home that you like and that you can afford comes to the market, you're able to immediately move forward. Don't wait for your financing. Because that puts you at a competitive disadvantage with other buyers.
Sound advice for first-time home buyers. That's Rick Sharga, Executive Vice President of Market Intelligence at Adam, based in Irvine, California. Up next, deciding if a credit freeze or a credit monitoring service would be a good move for you.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and in this segment, we're going to focus on credit scores and how to keep it in the best shape possible. Let's get some tips from Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst at LendingTree based in Austin, Texas. And Matt, when it comes to impacting our credit report, there's a couple of things that we can do. I first want to discuss the difference between credit monitoring and a credit freeze.
Yeah, credit monitoring is basically just a service that you sign up for that tells you when there's activity on your credit report, like if you open a new account or if there's a change in your score, that sort of thing. A credit freeze is what I call the nuclear option when it comes to protecting your credit. It locks your credit so nobody, not even you, can open accounts in your name.
What would be the benefit of starting or implementing a credit freeze? What scenario would that be ideal?
Well, if you're not planning to apply for credit anytime soon, there's really not a lot of downside to getting a credit freeze. It really does kind of clamp down your credit to where bad guys can't get a hold of it, and that's a really useful thing.
And how tedious is it to then lift the freeze to unfreeze the account?
It can be. It's gotten easier over the years, and it is something that if you are going to apply for credit in the near future, you should give yourself a few days for that freeze to thaw. But it's definitely something that you can do.
And let's circle back now to credit monitoring and just the usefulness of this tool, because I think perhaps some people think, you know, I check my credit maybe once a year for free. But beyond that, I think some people just leave it alone. So why would it be beneficial to sort of have the credit monitoring services?
Well, it never hurts to have another set of eyes on something as important as your credit. And yeah, there are most of these credit monitoring services don't do anything that you can't do yourself. But having that extra set of eyes, especially if it's not costing you anything, can be really useful. And we offer credit monitoring services at LendingTree with some other tools that we have. So it can be a useful thing for sure.
And I'm guessing that most of those services come with a fee attached to it, correct?
A lot of them do. You can certainly find monitoring services like the one we have at LendingTree and some of our competitors, but that are free. But yes, it really kind of depends on the extent of the monitoring that you're looking for. So shopping around for the best monitoring service that fits you and what you're looking for is really a good idea.
We appreciate the advice. Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst at LendingTree in Austin, Texas. Still ahead on this Personal Finance Wednesday, we'll talk about some money moves that will allow adult children to get back out on their own.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Pearson in for Rob Hart, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A fire in a high-rise apartment building on the south side leaves at least one resident dead, others injured. An arrest has been made following a suspected arson at a Peoria clinic earlier this month. In Personal Finance Wednesday, strategies to help adult children living at home get back out on their own. Plus, the continuing war in Ukraine is putting a spotlight on companies in the military and defense sector. WBBM Business. The markets remain in the red. The Dow down 74 points, NASDAQ off 75, and the S&P 500 down 16 points. AccuWeather says that snowfall is going to stick around throughout this afternoon and evening. A winter weather advisory in effect through 9 o'clock tonight. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues. We have breaking news from the scene of a high-rise fire we've been reporting on near 48th and Lake Park Avenue in Kenwood. That's on Chicago's south side. Less than 20 minutes ago, 4th Ward Alderwoman Sophia King confirmed to reporters on scene that one person has died in this fire.
It's one person they found deceased in the apartment where they believe the fire originated. As I said earlier, there were 6 people who were evacuated safely earlier, 5 in really good condition, 1 elderly woman who they're watching her CO levels, but she's still in good condition. There are still people in the building. They are safe. They are there being contained on purpose until they get the fire under control.
Our audio, courtesy of CBS2, Alderwoman King says there's no word yet on what may have sparked the fire, which reportedly damaged part of 9 floors of the building along Chicago's lakefront. WBBM's Terry Keschner is on scene. We'll go live to him coming up at 1:03. A man could appear in court later today for a suspected arson at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Peoria. It happened about 10 days ago. The Journal Star reports the person was taken into custody yesterday with charges now pending. The name of the suspect, though, hasn't been released.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Markets remain in the red. We're now joined by Ken Crawford, a portfolio manager at Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. And Ken, what do you make of what you see on Wall Street today?
Well, Rachel, I think you've got a little bit of a pullback with Microsoft and Texas Instruments earnings yesterday that were perhaps a little bit less than what investors wanted. And then you remember, I mean, we're, what, 3 weeks into the 23 year, and we've had a reasonably good bounce from a pretty awful 22. So a little bit of a pullback in the market, probably not a surprise here.
Now, you mentioned the bounce. I'm curious, though, because I think there's been some talk that that's going to perhaps be short-lived and we may be heading into a recession. So where are you in that debate?
Well, probably like your sky today, it's about as clear as mud to me. So you've got relatively low unemployment, which I think has to have the Federal Reserve a little bit worried, and inflation on the positive side, less at a lower level. So I think investors are kind of throwing the balls up in the air and saying, is the economy going to slow enough so that the Fed can kind of tap the brakes, or is the strength that we're seeing, especially in labor markets, going to keep the Fed with higher interest rates for a longer period of time?
Certainly seeing some volatility right now. What advice do you have for your clients amid this uncertainty?
Well, like always, what we tell our clients is investing is for the long term. So if they can find companies or assets that they want to own for the next 5 to 10 years, they should go ahead and buy. Obviously track the performance of those assets, but on the margin, probably not look to trade, you know, on a given day or a given month or et cetera.
So long-term forward facing. I can respect that suggestion. Where does the energy sector go from here? It's just been a little bit unpredictable as far as what's next.
Right. Well, just like the market as a whole. So I think investors are kind of chewing on a few things. What's going to happen in Ukraine and therefore Russian oil? What's going to happen with the economy in general? A slowdown in the economy would imply less energy consumption. Western Europe had a warmer than expected winter, at least so far, so less need for energy there. So I think it's, again, it's unclear. I think if investors think that we are going to have either a mild recession or avoid a recession altogether, I wouldn't be surprised if energy prices rise from here.
Mm-hmm. There's also been a lot of discussion, too, about growth versus value. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it ties into the unclear picture. We've had a little bit of a pop in growth stocks year to date, but obviously they took it on the chin last year. I think that if people are worried about earnings, growth stocks will probably struggle relative to value stocks. And if investors think that the Fed is more on the pause button rather than the higher for longer button, then growth stocks could see their day in the sun.
We also, earlier on in the show, were talking about earnings season and some disappointing news from Microsoft, Boeing, but encouraging news, though, from railroads. So I'm curious just sort of what your takeaway has been from this earnings season.
Well, it's early. Next week, we're going to have Apple, we're going to have Amazon, we're going to have Google and Meta, so some of the other big tech companies. So I think investors will get more information from that. When we talk to people in the real world, they say that their businesses in general are good, so that would kind of support the rails doing well. And I think what we've seen in technology is a little bit of excess from the pandemic, where you had difficulties in companies finding workers, so jobs were scarce. Now, with a little bit of slowing, you're seeing the technology companies reassess their cost structure, which implies looking at headcount, and we're seeing layoff announcements. I would not be surprised if that continues. And then the question is, how deep and how long?
That is the question. Thanks so much, Ken Crawford, a portfolio manager at Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. Up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, helping adult children leave the nest again.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and inflation and the economy are pushing more adult children back to the homes of their parents, and well, that's not always a great situation. So let's talk about ways to get them back on their feet with Mark Horner, a wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management based in Wheaton. And Mark, this could be a tough conversation to have, but maybe an important one.
It can be, Rachel, and this one's hitting awfully close to home. My wife and I have got four kids, two in their teens, two in their 20s, and we have a full house back at home. So I can speak from experience on this topic. So I think at first it's really important to remember, I don't think it's any kid's goal to move back in with mom and dad.
Right.
So important to be patient with them and help guide them just as you've done all along as a parent. But there are a couple of specific steps that you can take. So one would be to remind them when they've got a job, part of that money needs to go towards savings. So to make sure that they're taking advantage of savings plans at work, and then putting a little extra savings away outside of workplace plans, that it's not just go get a job to spend all your money with your friends.
Right.
If you've helped your kids try to build credit by being a signer on your credit card, it's maybe time to take that away and help them go through the process of evaluating different credit cards on their own, so that they're taking care of their own. Their own spending. And then I think you do need to just be careful what you wish for. I think we all parents want a lifelong relationship with our kids, and so to make sure that you're easing them out of the nest with love that's going to cause them to come back later.
Yeah, you don't want to do what Cisco Cotto joked about, and that was getting his 10 and 11-year-old out of the house. That's too soon for that.
No, but that's a little extreme.
I agree. Extreme. But here's the thing, and I think you sort of hit the nail on the head here, is yes, there are moments where, and there are points in time where it can be necessary for an adult child to move back in with mom and dad. I understand, especially with where the economy is right now, but there's a difference between doing what's necessary and doing what's comfortable, right? It's easy to feel like, oh, well, I have a job. Mom and dad aren't making me pay rent, so now I've got this seemingly disposable income, but that's really not the train of thought to have there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, making the kids pay rent, that's one way to go. I'm personally not a big fan of that. I don't think that's advancing anybody's goals at all. I'd much rather see maybe kids putting aside money that might otherwise be going towards rent that they can accumulate over time to maybe accumulate enough to eventually move out into their own apartment, or maybe they save up enough to go out and buy their first house. But you go through transition points throughout your life, and post college and getting your first job going and moving out of mom and dad's house for on a permanent basis. That's just another one of those transitions that I think as parents we just need to gently guide, not coddle. Gently guide our children through that process.
Well, just as parents are there for you when you're falling down, it's parents who need to be there to help you get back up.
And a little bit of tough love is okay. It's okay. Making them pay for the groceries every once in a while, there's no problem with that.
You heard it here from Mark Horner. Thanks so much for joining us. He's a wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. You can join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, we'll take a look at defense company stocks in the context of the invasion of Ukraine.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
As the U.S. and Germany get ready to send dozens of tanks to help Ukraine fight off Russia, defense companies in America could be seeing increased demand of their products. We're joined by Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. And Michael, the U.S., President Biden announced he would be sending the 31 Abrams tanks to Ukraine.
Yeah, good afternoon, Rachel. Thanks for having me on. So just as it looked like things maybe were simmering a little bit over there, we have this big announcement, both the U.S. and Germany sending armored vehicles, some of them tanks, over to Ukraine. The U.S. is going to send 31 of their best M1A1 Abram tanks, and Germany's going to send 14 of their Leopard 2s. So it's a pretty big move for both countries, and certainly would help the defense industry. Thing is these stocks are already doing very well, and so you don't see it in the stock prices today. In fact, the tank maker is General Dynamics, and it's actually at earnings, so it's down on earnings 3%. But that's an earnings move. It would have probably been up a couple percent on this news without the earnings. But you know, these stocks are almost all trading near all-time highs, which you can't find another sector around that is doing that in this market. So it's been a very strong industry. It could get stronger if this war escalates further. You know, I do want to say that we are long at MJP Capital. We're long Raytheon, so we do have one of the stocks in this space. We do like the space, and we think that it could go up another 10 to 20% this year, given the tensions that are continuing over there. So it you don't see it in General Dynamics today, but it's only because their earnings came out and there was a little bit of a sell the news event. But GD is within 10% of its all-time high. Every one of these stocks is within 5 to 10% of their all-time high. So it's definitely a sector to watch.
Certainly. Well, and not only with this latest announcement of the U.S. sending tanks to Ukraine, but the Department of Defense has sent out a number of high-value contracts at the end of last year, sort of boosting the defense space.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the last few years between COVID, which helped big pharma, and then we have the war in Ukraine, which has helped defense. Two of our biggest industries in the United States have had some help from you know, what you call maybe macro events that are happening around the globe. So they're definitely two industries that have outperformed the overall market, and we'll see going forward. I like defense. I like Raytheon in particular, but certainly it's an industry that I think is safer than some of the other ones that could be affected by a coming recession. Whereas this sector is certainly recession proof.
Thanks so much. Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, based here in Chicago. And if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.